Now let's continue on and come to Isaiah 29, and let's see how that all the way through, you might do this as a study, read through all of Isaiah and see how much of it pertains to the millennium and the salvation of Israel and Judah, and then how it's intermixed with references to us under Christ. And all of that, yes, there's a lot of destruction, talks about here too. There's a lot of correction that it talks about as well. But the book of Isaiah is really quite a fantastic thing. And so you might do that. Just set that out as a project to do after the Feast of Tabernacles so you can understand. Now let's come to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29 and verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face become pale, because he has been saved. Talking about Jacob, that is not just the son of Isaac, but this is talking about all the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. When he shall see his children, the work of his hands, in the midst they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. Now notice, verse 24, they're going to have to learn the way of God. Those who erred in spirit shall come to understanding. Those who murmured shall learn instruction. Quite a wonderful thing. Do you imagine the whole world full of converted people? Imagine what that would be like. Huh. Look at the world the way it is today. Look at how all the leaders are serving themselves. It's going to be a totally different thing when we're running things. You know, we're going to tell all the governments of this world through Christ, you're finished. We're going to tell all the elite, go repent and learn a lesson. We're going to tell all the generals and those who have armies, no further need for you. Go in peace. What a thing. Totally converted nation. Totally converted world. Unheard of thing. All right, let's come over here to chapter 30 and verse 23. Verse 23. Here's what's going to happen. Then he shall give rain for your seed with which you sow the ground. Entirely different today. Hey, look at what we've had in weather this year because of the volcano over there in Iceland. We've had lower temperatures all summer. And that maybe is going to affect the crops. How profoundly, we'll just have to wait and see when the harvest is over. But here, rain in due season. And the bread of the produce of the earth shall also be fat and plentiful. Now, fat means having all the nutrients in it that are necessary to sustain life. And that you have in hardly any food today. And that's why we're so sick and miserable. All right, it's going to be something, really be something. In that day your cattle shall be fed in large pastures. Also the oxen and young donkeys that plow the ground shall eat clean fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and with the fork. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers, streams of water in the day of the great slaughter, when towers fall down. In other words, instead of all the blood that was shed on the earth, now streams of water. And water is like the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Yes. Now notice. And the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, and that's getting in then to the time of the tribulation coming. Okay? Now, let's look at some more concerning the things that are going to take place on the earth. Let's come here to Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Let's see what also God says is going to take place. Isaiah 48. Now it's talking about verse 1. Hear this, O house of Israel, who are called by my name and have come out of the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel. Yes, but didn't do it in truth or in righteousness. All right. Let's come down here, Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Isn't that something? Israel is going to learn by the things that they suffer. Quite interesting, isn't it? I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Now think about that the next time you're going through a fiery trial. Furnace of affliction. For your own sake, for your own sake will I do it. For why should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand is stretched out to heavens. When I call, they stand up together. See, God controls everything. Christ is the one who upholds everything by the word of his power. Now he's bringing it to the earth. Now, isn't that something? My hand has laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand is stretched out to heavens. When I call, they stand up together. That's quite a verse. I really like that. You know, all you stars, stand at attention. Think of that. Let all of you be gathered together and hear who among them has declared these things. See, God has made it known. No wonder the Protestants don't know anything. They reject the Old Testament. How can they possibly know anything anyway? Now, people are going to say, well, Fred, when are you going to quit picking on the Protestants? Well, they have had 500 years to do their thing, haven't they? And what have they accomplished but the destruction of people, right? So indulge me for a few years. Let's see what happens. Let all of you be gathered together and hear who among you has declared these things. The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. And you read Revelation 18, the judgment of Babylon, which God tells us today, come out of her, my people, for her sins have reached up to high heaven, and that you be not partaker of her plagues. So we're to come out of it. Verse 15, I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him. He makes his way succeed. Come near to me, hear this. God wants it known, and this is part of preaching the gospel. That's why it is called the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what was the first thing that Jesus said after John was put in prison and he came into Galilee? What did he say? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And of course it was, with Christ there in person, wasn't it? Yes, indeed. Now let's continue on. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. Now, the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus says the Lord, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, yes, God is the one who's going to do it. That's fantastic, isn't it? All right, let's come here, chapter 49, verse 8, just across the page. Let's come up here to verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations hate, the servant of rulers. That's what they do now. But notice what is going to happen. Kings shall see and arise, and princes shall also worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose you. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. For I will preserve you and give you for a covenant for the people. This is talking of Christ before his crucifixion. To restore the earth and to cause them to inherit the wasted inheritance. Because God will make it profitable and good again. Here's what we're going to do. That you may say to the prisoners, go out. And to those who are in darkness, show yourselves, that they may feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. Now, when I read that, I think about what it was like when they came to the concentration camps and saw all these poor, pitiful people. And they told them, come out. And they told them, show yourself. Come. Be healed. Verse 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, nor shall the heat or sun strike them, for he who has compassion on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of waters he shall guide them. And I will make all my mountains as roads, and my highways shall be exalted. And behold, these shall come afar. And lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion upon his afflicted. Boy, what a time that is going to be. Every wrong made right. Every sin forgiven. People coming to God. And that's our destiny. That's why we're called. That's why we're here. Now let's come down here, chapter 49, and let's come over here to verse 22. Verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. It's like he says there in Isaiah the second chapter, and all nations shall flow unto it. And I have set up my banner to the people, and they shall bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings, former rulers, shall become your nursing fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. And you shall know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait on me. That's talking about us, how we're going to be ruling. Now, verse 24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Yes, going to happen. But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the first one shall be rescued. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. And I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh. And they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, am your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Boy, that's quite something, isn't it? So that's going to be really, you know, look forward to that. Hey, what a time that's going to be. Now, let's see what follows on here in chapter 51. Let's begin here in verse 1. Now, this is talking about us. Right here. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. That's us. Look to the rock from whence you were cut, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. And we, brethren, are the seed of the stars. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And just think what a marvelous thing it's going to be when Christ shows him all of this. As well as, and I think of this every time I think of Abraham on the Sea of Glass, and God takes him over to the edge of the Sea of Glass and he says, look down there, Abraham. Here are your spiritual seed up here on the Sea of Glass so far. And look down there. There are your physical seed down there, too. Some are in captivity, and we're going to bring them back. And others of Ishmael are fighting and warring. Now, they're going to have to die, but we'll take care of them in the resurrection after the 1,000 years. But those are your seed, too. How about that? That's something. Verse 3, for the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, he will make her wilderness like Eden, just like we saw before, like the Garden of Eden. Notice again how Scripture agrees with Scripture. It all comes together. Now, of course, when you're reading the Old Testament here, it'll go along, it'll talk about the things concerning the millennium, and then it will talk about other things after that. So it's a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you have to put it together so that you get the full picture, and that's what we're trying to do here. Notice what it's going to be like. And her desert, like the garden of the Lord. Now, have you ever had a garden that you planted that was just an absolute total catastrophe? Yes, we've had a couple. You have to have God make the soil right. We tried planting a garden up in Salt Lake City, and it was the hard clay ground. We didn't think about trying to make it a better soil before we started planting, and everything was a total disaster. You know, we thought, oh, good, we'll have some fresh tomatoes. Boop! They all withered up, nothing grew. And then the seagulls during the time of Joseph Smith, the descendants of those grasshoppers were out there eating up our garden. Yeah, I tell you. Notice, joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Boy, we're going to have lots of singing. We're going to have lots of music. Hearken to me, my people. Give ear to me, O my nation. For instruction shall proceed from me, and we're going to bring it to them. And I will make my justice as a light to the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone out, and my arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm they shall trust. Quite a different world, isn't it? Yes, the kingdom of God. And in every one of these things we are reading, you're seeing your job. You are seeing what God has called you to do. Notice what else he says here. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become old like a garden, and its inhabitants shall die the same way. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. That's why there's a new heaven and new earth. And it shows what's going to happen to it. Isn't that the way that the earth is going to be changed? Yes. The wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire will consume the whole earth, burn everything up, eliminate the oceans. Everything will be changed. We'll have a new earth. But God's righteousness is going to continue, and it's going to continue on into New Jerusalem, as we will see. Verse 7, hearken to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. That's us, brethren. So he's giving us comfort here, and he's telling us how to react to him and the difficulties we're going to see coming in the world in just a short time. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings. Don't worry about it. God is going to take care of them. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment. and the worm shall eat them like wool. They're going to be gone. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, piercing the serpent? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the remnant to pass over? Yes, it was. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall come, shall return and come with singing unto the Lord, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Gladness and joy shall overtake them. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You imagine that? Not like the world today. Now think about this verse next time you're watching television and you see all these ads to help people with depression and to help people with headaches. You know, they picture them as happy, 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 happy. But be careful, it might kill you or you may have tendency for suicide. But this is good stuff. Not going to be like that. It's going to be the real deal, the real thing from God. Verse 12, for I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, or the son of man who shall be made as grass? And you forget your Maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And you dread continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile will soon be set free. He will not die in the dungeon, nor will he lack bread because of God. And because we're going to be sent to bring them out. And we're going to be sent to change their lives. Bring them health, bring them healing, bring them happiness, bring them forgetfulness, so that they will see the greatness of God and not remember the suffering that they went through anymore. I am the Lord your God who divided the sea so that its waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. And I have covered you in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. That's us. We are the people of God. And we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Now notice this, verse 17. Awake, awake! Rise up, O Jerusalem, who drank the cup of his fury from the hand of the Lord, and who drunk the cup of the tremblings to the dregs and wrung them out. Yes, that is what's going to be. Verse 21. Therefore now hear this, afflicted one, and drunken, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord, and your God who defends his people, behold, I have taken the cup of trembling from your hand, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall never drink of it again. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, and who have said to your soul, bow down so that we may walk over you. And you laid your back like the ground, and laid your back like the ground, even the street to those who walk over you. No more going to happen that way. No more that kind of oppression. No more totalitarian dictatorships. Now, just think what that's going to... You know, this message is really quite offensive to the rulers of the world, isn't it? You know, this sounds like here what it's talking about, like what the Chinese have done to their people. Lay down on the ground and we'll walk over you. That going to be something? They're going to be given a chance. But they better repent, because if not, the sword of the Lord is coming. The sword of the Lord is coming. And also, we're probably going to help bring those nations to understanding, and we're going to help bring the sword of the Lord, that they will repent. Think of that. Now let's continue right on here in Isaiah 52. Again it says, awake, awake! Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And never again shall come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean ones. Is that going to be something? Holiness and truth. And of course, we'll be in Jerusalem as well. Verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Thus it shall be in that day, for I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Now you've often wondered about this verse here, haven't you? Because Paul quotes it in Romans the 10th chapter. Now notice, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings. Now Paul applied that to the preachers back in his day, and of course the preachers from then on. But this is also a prophecy of what we're going to be doing, because it's going to be us who are going to go on the mountains and bring good tidings and publish peace, who brings good news, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Christ is in Jerusalem. No more human government. No more war. Be healed. Be cleansed. Be raised up. Come and live. Come and learn about salvation. That's going to be our job. Yes, going to be something. Verse 8, the voice of your watchmen shall be lifted up. They shall lift up the voice together. They shall sing aloud. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns again to Zion. That's something? That's us, with Christ. Break out, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. He had to do it with strength. He had to do it with power. He had to do it with might. He had to do it by shaking the earth. He had to do it by conquering the beast and the false prophet and their armies. And he had plenty of power to do it, didn't he? Yes, he did. Yes. Verse 10. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's the time of universal salvation. That's the time when people are going to live and know and understand the purpose in life. We're going to be there to teach, and we're going to be there to help, and we're going to be there to bring them all the good things that we find in the prophecies here in the book of Isaiah. All of these things tell us about the kingdom of God. And all of these things show us what our job and our work will be. This is why God has called us. And this is why we are here. So at the Feast of Tabernacles, let's all rejoice together and do it and make this continuing. We're halfway through the feast now. Let's make the second half as good or better than the first half.